Good evening and welcome to Steadfast. I am so glad to be with you tonight as we wrap up our series, My Shield. We've been going through Psalm 7 in our continuing journey every few months where we pick up the next psalm and we look at this hymn book, this song book that God gave us of authorized prayers, as a wise man once told me. These are things that God has given us. He's saying, you can bring these emotions, these challenges, these struggles, and as we see tonight, these Thanksgiving and praise times to me. Sometimes we get that part, at least in theory, the whole idea of, yeah, I should praise God. I should thank him. And we struggle with, can I bring the other stuff, the things we've been talking about, the fact that it seems like there's injustice and bad stuff's happening, and how do we wrestle with that? And we've seen over the last weeks that we have permission to bring those things. We come back to praise and thanksgiving, though, because as we bring those things, we don't want to forget to thank God. We don't want to forget to praise God. And when things are going really well, when we're really comfortable with what's happening, it's not hard. Last night when we had our church family pizza dinner and we had both Brian and Joyce with us from out of town, it felt like one of those moments where, yeah, everyone was ready to praise and give thanks to God because it was a joyful time together. But what do we do when we're waiting? What do we do in those times that aren't those moments? Or even last night, waving goodbye and seeing both of them depart again. And of course, we have our wonderful connection online, but it's still always bittersweet saying goodbye and knowing someone's traveling away. And in those times, we're waiting for the next time. We're waiting for the reunion. We're waiting for that day somehow that we arrange that all of us, our online family and our in-person family, are all together in one place at one time. And I would love to see that happen on this earth. If it doesn't happen until we're in God's presence, we're all together in one moment. We're whatever the case, we're waiting, right? How do we keep coming back to praise and thanksgiving in those waiting times? Because that's what we've been talking about in Psalm 7. We've been talking about David waiting. There's injustice. There's insults being hurled at him. Terrible things said about his reputation. Possibly physical violence being brought against him. We don't know the details, but David is waiting for God to work. There are plenty of psalms that cut straight to the praise and the thanksgiving. But there's plenty of psalms, too, that say it's okay to ask God those questions. Just don't forget. Don't forget in the midst of that. We still praise God and we still give him thanksgiving. And as we take our individual weights and challenges and struggles that we have today, whatever they may be, I know all of us carry them. Let's ask God to help us to see how we praise him in the midst of those. Would you join me in prayer? Father, thank you for this evening and thank you for yesterday evening and every week that you give us together as a church. I'm amazed at how you've brought us together, both in person and online. And I think about each person that you've called together, this community we have on Monday nights in the live stream chat, the fellowship we have on Sunday nights and on Tuesdays in Bible study, just the whole gamut of it. And I think about how wonderful that is that you've given us that. Even as we rejoice in that and we come together each week for that, for those things, Lord, we all carry burdens. We all carry places where we're waiting and wondering. Would you help us to see how we praise you and give thanksgiving to you in the waiting and the wondering? Lord, we ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I'm fascinated, I think most of us are to some extent or another, by space. And not just because I'm a Trekkie, yeah, Final Frontier, but it really is, isn't it? I mean, you think about this. We have this amazing Earth, and we don't fully understand it, but then there's this vastness that's beyond anything we could even possibly hope to reach in our lifetime. And one of the fascinating aspects of that is the data we've been getting from Voyager 1 and Voyager 2, these two spacecraft launched decades ago now that have now traveled outside of our solar system and send data back. They've been out of our solar system for over a decade now. They've gone long beyond what people even imagined they could do, and they've sent back this fascinating information about the reaches, far reaches of space. Well, actually not that far in comparison to the overall universe that God has made, but far farther than we can reasonably expect to reach ourselves as human beings. We don't have the technology to go there and support life. They've given us all this data, and then last November, what probably should have happened decades ago happened. Voyager 1 quit communicating properly. It was still communicating amazingly, even though it's so far away. It was still sending data back. It takes almost a day for that data to reach here, and another day for anything that our scientists send to it to reach it. But it started sending just gibberish. It seemed like maybe the end had come for Voyager. And I found myself thinking about that, and it was sort of, well, of course it's going to happen. This thing has gone way further than any other human-made device has. And it's gone beyond what we could have possibly asked of it. But it's also, it just seems like it's always been there for us. And now it's not doing what it was designed to do any longer. I did read that last week, there's good news. They were able to repair it. Again, this is stunning, amazing stuff. But they actually managed to trigger a diagnostic where it dumped all of its data in its little antiquated computer and sent it back to us. And they realized that one of the chips that stores data had failed and it was garbling everything. And so they're starting to, with all this distance, to actually reprogram this ancient computer so that it can start sending information back. And it's not, the sensors aren't working yet, but they think that they can actually reprogram it where they start getting useful information again. I thought about that, and I'm thankful they're able to do that, but then all kinds of questions run through my mind. What if their programming goes wrong and it ends up shutting down their ability to communicate with it? And even if that's not the case, the fact that one chip failed means eventually other chips are going to fail. And so lots of things run through my head, and I'm both excited and also leery. Maybe it's years of working on computers for myself and others. I'm leery, is it really going to work? When we come to God with the garbledness of our lives, we struggle to come to him with praise and thanksgiving because we think, well, what if more gibberish comes my way? I'm still living in that not yet. And God, I want to praise you. But I kind of think that there's going to be more gibberish, and I don't know how to get past that fear. Here's what David wraps up his Psalm 7 with. Take a look at verse 17a. He says, I will give to the Lord the thanks due to his righteousness. David has been experiencing unrighteous behavior towards himself. It hasn't felt like God's righteousness is there in that moment with him. And yet he says, I'm going to give thanks. Right now it feels like gibberish, but I'm going to give thanks. So hard to do. A few years ago, Christians were really excited at the testimony that Kanye West gave, that he was becoming a Christian. And then we watched all kinds of really bizarre behavior. If you follow even the least bit of entertainment news, you probably have heard it because it keeps coming up because of some of the utterly bizarre stuff. And underlying that, I read an interview not long ago where he said that he has an issue with Jesus now because he said he prayed about things and they didn't happen. And Jesus could have done it, so why didn't he? And I thought lots of different things, but I thought in some sense that is the struggle with, are we going to just be someone who encounters something about the good news and we get really excited for a moment, or are we actually going to go in the long haul of following Jesus as believers throughout our lives? And I don't know what's going on in Kanye West's heart. I'm not even going to try to figure that out. God is the one working on each of us, and that's really not my job. I don't understand that. I don't know that. But what did strike me is that's the crucial thing that we have to struggle with if we're going to go on this Christian walk. Because there are going to be times we're going to come to God in prayer. And as we affirm Scripture, we know that he can do anything. There are going to be a lot of times that we don't see the prayer requests being answered in the way that we want, in the timely fashion, what we would consider timely fashion at least, that we would like. And we wonder, God, I thought you could do this. Why aren't you? And the fact that we wonder that, that's normal and human. But what are we going to do with it? I think as David is here, he probably has those same thoughts run through his head. The key difference, and this is what's going to distinguish the life that's faithful, is whether we can go from that and say, I don't understand what you're doing, God. I don't understand why this isn't answered yet. But then we can go back to praising him anyway. Because if we're only going to praise God when he's answering prayer, if we're only going to praise God when we can clearly see how he's working, we're going to end up in that disillusioned state. It doesn't matter if you're a celebrity or if you're a nobody like me. All of us are going to be in those places where we're stuck waiting. We're going to wonder, God, what are you doing? And am I going to praise God in those places? David says, let's go and praise him in those places. This is what's appropriate. This is what's necessary. We don't want to forget to praise God, and we don't want to wait to praise God. Because if we truly believe what we confess, we may not see it in this moment. Everything might not be right in this very second. But we know that God is going to make things right. And so we praise him because we know what he's going to do and we know what he's done in the past, that he has been faithful over generations. And in a given moment, it might not feel like he's acting, but he's faithful. We want to say, I'll thank you when I get it. When I get that prayer request answered, when I see it being fulfilled, then let's talk about praising. Okay, God, let's make a deal like that. You give me what I need, I'll give you the praise that you ask for. But that's not how we're supposed to do it. And we're not supposed to do it that way because God is already being faithful in ways beyond anything we could ever ask for. So we start with praise. We go there to praise even as we wait in anticipation, in yearning. David is in deep, deep distress here, and yet he can praise God because he looks at the God whom he's served all his life. He looks at the God whom he knows that his ancestors have served for generation after generation. And even when they've been unfaithful, God has been faithful. And so David says, okay, I don't know the answer at this moment, but I know that I can praise God because he will be faithful. David says, I'm going to give thanks to you. I'm going to praise you because I know you're righteous. The thing I yearn for, the thing I want to see most of all, to see righteousness rain down on earth, I know that's who you are, God. And so I'm going to praise you. I'm going to give you that thanksgiving right now in the midst of everything going wrong. He knows who God is, and so he's going to thank him. Here's what we know. We know who God is even more deeply and fully than David does. Because we can read the rest of his word that David didn't have yet. Here we are in Psalms, and we have to remember David's writing a lot of these Psalms. A lot of what we read about in Scripture is stuff written in reflection on David's life. David didn't have all this. But we do, and we can turn all the way to the New Testament and see the ultimate fulfillment that God does for us, that he brings his righteousness into this world in the most incredible of ways. He doesn't just rain down righteousness on this world and eradicate everything unrighteous, including us. No, he comes into the world as righteousness and takes on our sin for us. That's why we worship Jesus. That's why we celebrate what he's done for us. He's already done it. Now, not fully able to be experienced yet, but he's done it. We're invited to experience it even as we wait, even as we yearn. And that's why it's not easy. I can't say I always have this down and I'm always good at doing it. That's why we should praise God even when we don't understand what he's doing. I'm not saying there are not going to be times where we aren't tempted or maybe outright can say, I have issues with Jesus because I don't understand why he's not doing stuff. Well, guess what? The psalmists at times say, I have issues with Jesus. Job, I'm speaking a little anachronistically here. They didn't know the fullness of God yet. They weren't saying Jesus, but they were coming to the Lord. Job, he's saying, Lord, I'm righteous. I worship you. I don't worship false gods. I don't say unclean things. Why am I suffering like I am? Scripture says that the saints have done this, and it's okay. It's okay to come to God and ask those questions. But let's not stay there. And even as we're waiting for the resolution of that, let's not quit praising him and thanking him. Because even when we have those pending issues, so to speak, we know the character of God. We know whom it is that we serve, and so we can praise him in that time. But boy, isn't that hard. Doesn't it sort of remind you of when you were little and you were taught how to write a thank you note. And I remember, I don't know if they still have this in English or language arts class in school, but there were even whole sections. Here's the proper form of a thank you note. And of course, you always have those relatives that are more strict about that yes, they need to get the thank you note. I never liked writing them, not because I wasn't thankful, but it just felt so wooden. Thank you so much for this gift, and now let me insert something that seems really kind of trite, but is what I'm supposed to say about how this gift is going to be so great, and so on and so forth, and then sign it and send off this little thank you note. It didn't really feel like it meant that much to write out that kind of formal thank you note. Where it really got hard, though, was if you weren't really thankful for something, right? Not that we shouldn't be thankful for everything, but something, for example, that broke right away, and you're supposed to describe how nice it was or how appreciated it was, or maybe it was something you're given that doesn't fit right. It's a piece of clothing, doesn't fit, whatever it is. And then you're still supposed to write that thank you note and sound thankful, but you're trying to n say something that expresses appreciation, doesn't lie. So it has to dodge around the problems and still get that out there and sound thankful. And it's just like, why do I have to do this? And weren't we all thankful when someone gave us a gift that was the sort of person that didn't want that thank you note? That wasn't expected. It wasn't needed. Just seemed delighted at receiving it. It was so much better, right? And sometimes it feels like with God that, do I have to write another one of those thank you notes? Everything in my life seems amiss right now, but okay, God, you want me to write out a praise note, a thank you note, and I'll sing it, I'll pray it. Okay, how do I say this that's going to be accurate? Because I'm not feeling very thankful right now. Well, David shows us here not how we do something like that, but how we come to what we really should be thankful for, even in that moment. Because our lives may feel broken, our lives may feel like they're the wrong size, but here's the thing that we know God is righteous and that his righteousness is righteousness given to us. That he loves us, that he calls us into his family. That he's going to take everything that's broken and unrighteous and impure and bad and ugly in our lives, and he's going to make it good. He's going to allow us to experience that if we trust in him, if we trust in Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And so even when there's all that other stuff out there that feels like it's broken and just a mess, we can come to God and give him thanks because we don't have to make up stuff about, God, I'm so thankful that I lost my job, or God, I'm so thankful I'm struggling with this class, or I'm so thankful that my relatives are sick. We don't have to say things like that. God's not looking for that. He's not looking for us to somehow be thankful for things that are clearly just bad and oftentimes a result of a fallen world or sometimes our own sin. He's looking for us to look to him and be thankful for him because he's with us in those things. Am I revisiting what God has done in the past throughout all of Earth's history that I get to be here because God has been faithful to humanity for generations and generations? Am I thankful for the fact that I live and move and breathe because God has allowed me to? Am I thanking him for those things? And am I thanking him for the things that I know he will do? Because he's even the parts of life that feel broken, he's not going to leave them broken. And so I can thank him for what's coming still. And that's what David's doing here as well, is he's praising God for righteousness. He's been asking for that righteousness to appear in his life, that he can see righteousness come against the unrighteousness that's been up against him. David can praise God as righteous because even where it's not fully revealed yet, David knows it's going to be. So it's not that thank you note that we wrote as little kids that we hated to write. It's reflecting on this true gift that's absolutely something that if we really understand it, we're thankful for. And if we're not thankful yet, it's a great time to say, well, do I really understand what God's done for me? Because if I do, then there's something good and beautiful and pure and wonderful that God is putting into my life, even as everything else might be difficult. Even if there aren't a lot of other things I feel thankful for at this moment, I know that God's with me. Revisiting that with God is different because it's going to keep on as well. And that's what I mentioned earlier. I'm really thankful that Voyager 1's going to keep sending that data back for us. I'm glad we're going to get more information about this universe that God's made. But even as I revisit its past faithfulness and how they're trying to get it going again, the big question is, are they going to be successful at repairing it, and will it stay repaired? And frankly, the answer is at some point it won't. At some point it's going to shut down. It won't always be repaired successfully. Here's the difference with God. He is in the midst of repairing us, but we can be thankful for that repair because we know his repair is going to stick. In fact, his repair is going to be better than anything we've seen so far. The best is yet to come with God because someday he will make everything right. Voyager 1 and Voyager 2, they're going to quit. Whatever we come up with after that we send out into space, even someday if we come up with a way to travel vast distances in space, it's all going to break. It's all going to wear out. But God's restoration of this world that he's made will stick. And so we can give him thanks even before it's happened because we know that everything we know about God, everything he's done in the past, authenticates that God always finishes what he says he's going to finish. That his promises are good and true, and his promises that are for you and for me, they are true. Even right now, even right in the midst of the rubble. We go on to 17b. What do we find? David says, "And I will sing praise to the name of the Lord, the Most High." That title he gives the Lord is really crucial. And different Middle Eastern cultures sometimes used that title. But David here notably uses that title combined with God's covenantal name, his name that he'd given to his people, the Lord, Yahweh. And as he says both God's name and this title, he's saying, I understand that the God whom I serve, I understand the God who's given me the promises that I have in his law, that he is faithful to his people. The prophecies have been given to me there's going to be a whole line in my house that will be kings forever. All that stuff. It's not just from some local deity that means well. Not going to be able to pull it off, but means well. No, the one who is most high, the God of the universe, the one who's above everyone else, everything else, anything that you can imagine, God is higher than it. That God, the only true God, he's the one that's made these promises. And so we can praise God, not only for what we're anticipating, but we can praise him for who he will always be. And that's why we can anticipate the things that he's going to do that haven't happened yet. Why, even as we say, God, why haven't you done this? We can know, but I know that you're going to make things right. I know that this brokenness that's right here, right now, that's not the end of the story. It might feel like it. Sometimes it's a matter where we're praying for someone's healing and death comes and it feels like we've seen the final period in the sentence. What, how's it going to be made right? But what do we know? That God is the God whose victory even over death ultimately. And so, yes, maybe this year or this decade or the rest of your life, it might feel like we still are living in rubble and we're still wondering why God isn't making everything right, but God will make everything right. So we praise him. And we praise him not because we're trying to cover up the fact that everything isn't right yet, not that God's hired us as a church, as the church around the world, as a PR firm. Oh, well, if people hear that God hasn't finished yet, they're not going to like him. So we need to praise him really loudly so people don't hear about all the failures of God's administration. It's not that kind of thing. God isn't trying to cover up the places where there are recalls on the world that he's made. No, God is calling us to praise him because we know that he's the God that's going to fix how we've broken things, how he's perfect even when we're not, how he's loving even when we're not, he's faithful even when we're not. That's where David is in this. He says, the God who's given his people his name, he's the one that's most high. And he's the one that's in power, and he's the one that can do it. He's not just big and important. He is the biggest and most important. And so I know what he's going to do ultimately. And we know it even more clearly. Revelation 19. What do we read there? We read these wonderful, wonderful words of Jesus. After this, I heard what seemed to be the loud voice of a great multitude in heaven crying out, Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and power belong to our God. For his judgments are true and just, for he has judged the great prostitute who corrupted the earth with her immorality, and has avenged on her the blood of his servants. And once more they cried out, Hallelujah! The smoke from her goes up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God, who is seated on the throne, saying, Amen! Hallelujah! And from the throne came a voice saying, Praise our God, all you his servants, you who fear him, small and great. Then I heard what seemed to be the voice of a great multitude, like the roar of many waters, like the sound of mighty peals of thunder, crying out, Hallelujah, for the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us rejoice and exult and give him the glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. It was granted her to clothe herself with fine linen, bright and pure. For the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints. Think about that picture there for a moment. You might get caught up in one part of the imagery or another, but here is the beauty of it. We see judgment. Yes, God is going to put down unrighteousness. God is going to shut down everything unrighteous in this world. But then what's going to happen? That bride of Christ comes, and that bride is his church. That bride is all of us who are his church. It's going to be a beautiful, amazing celebration as we come into God's presence, made righteous, cleansed of everything that's unrighteous about us. And we come and we worship him. That's the fulfillment of what happens as we praise him now. That's a time that David, who wrote this psalm and was praising him at the end of it, he'll be standing there with us praising the Lord in his victory, his final, true, complete victory. And yes, it's beyond what David even could have imagined, but David will be there rejoicing, will be there. If you trust in Jesus, you will be there rejoicing, and things will be made right. Not there yet. But we stop and we praise him in this moment. We praise him right now, even before that happens, because we know that is certain to happen. It's not a repair to a distant satellite in space that may or may not be able to do what it's supposed to do. It's something that's sure and true. And do I stop and wonder at God? Praise him. In this moment, right now, that's what he's going to do in the future. God's the only one who can make everything better. Now, in this moment, in this life, oftentimes we have momentary things that we can participate in or enjoy that seem to make life better. Chocolate, for example. Chocolate can make all kinds of things better, can't it? I mean, you get something that's really good and chocolatey, like an excellent chocolate pie or chocolate chip cookies or whatever kind of chocolate that you love. And I hope that all of you are sensible enough to love chocolate, because of course you should. But if you don't, something else that you would use and enjoy in place of chocolate. Chocolate is just so good. It makes everything better, it seems like, always, right? We can just count on chocolate. But have you heard the headlines? This is scary stuff, friends. There is something called the swollen shoot virus. And this virus is a virus for chocolate. Not that we could catch it, but that our chocolate-producing trees around the world could catch it. And when they do, it kills the tree. And it spreads to other trees through little bugs that carry it from tree to tree. They feed on the one tree. They acquire the virus. They take it over to the next tree that they walk through the canopy. And then they put it into that tree as they feed on that tree. And it spreads this virus. And the trees die. And it's becoming a serious problem where there's questions about, will there be enough chocolate in the world? I don't mean to bring more panic into all of our lives, but this is real, that there could be less chocolate in the world. And that might seem kind of like a silly thing, but we do enjoy things like chocolate, right? We find those things that we can take joy in the moment, and it seems to make maybe even the difficulties we're facing better. But as a reminder, that those things too can fail. And I sure hope, I really do hope, that they find a resistant sort of plant that won't be destroyed by this virus. But what happens if there's a day where there is no chocolate? Well, chocolate's not going to make everything better any longer, is it? And even if there's never that day and we have all the chocolate we want, we still know we're going to face all kinds of things in life that even chocolate can't make better. But here is the good news that we find in our God. The God is the God who will always be there. Chocolate may not always be there for us, but God will always be there for us. And so we can give thanks for who it is that we encounter in his word, who God is, that he's been forever, for eternity before. We can give thanks for who he's going to be. There's no virus that's ever going to knock out God's faithfulness. There's no thing that's going to fail in the transmission of his grace to us. We can count on him, and he will give his grace and his love to us. And so in the moment, you might be like David, wondering, where are you, God, in this? Why is all this bad stuff happening? But may we also be able to experience through God's Spirit the confidence David has. It may not be here yet, but God's kingdom is here. And his coming and his presence for those who trust in him will restore us and give us all the hope that we could ever have, and better than hope, fulfillment of it. Would you pray with me, please? Lord, we thank you for your goodness, that you aren't something that will fail, but rather you are the one who never fails. You are the one who defeats all the failures, all the brokenness, even our own sin. You make us new. That someday we will stand around you in awe and praise you and rejoice that you have triumphed over even death, that our loved ones will experience new life, and we will too. May we trust in you tonight. May we praise you and give thanks to you tonight, even when we're not sure why certain things are the way they are, because we know that you are good and true. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Hope this has been an encouragement to you. And if it has, I know I say this every week, please don't just tune this out. Please do give it a like or a share. Follow us on our different social media channels. You can follow us on Mastodon, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, X, we're Instagram, wherever you are. Please do follow us. Please do share our posts, because you can help others hear about the hope of our God. When you do that, it really does make a difference. We have lots more to share together, and we're going to be beginning a brand new series next week as we return to Volume 5 of Proverbially Speaking. We'll be looking at the Proverbs again, turning to Proverbs chapter 25, where we find some of the Proverbs of Solomon. Now you might say, I thought the book of Proverbs was from Solomon. Well, that's the overall connecting piece, right? But here in chapter 25, we find Proverbs specifically collected later on that Solomon gave, and there's wisdom from the king for the people of the king, and not just the king as in Solomon, but for us as we follow the true king. I think it's going to be a wonderful time in the Proverbs, and I can't wait to share it with you starting next Monday night. In the meantime, if you have any prayer requests, any questions, I would love to hear from you. You can shoot us a text at the texting line 833-356-4032, or leave a comment in the comments below. It's always great to hear from you, and always great to get to pray with you. Hope you have a wonderful and blessed week, and I will see you again very soon.